Okay, we also extend a Christian greetings to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Glad to be here. Not necessarily glad to be up here, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. And I'd like to share with you what I thought the Lord has given me. I would like to read out of Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Okay, that's as far as I want to read. The subject I'm going to talk about this morning, it's more of a delicate subject, and I'll open up to you for thoughts from you. If I say something I shouldn't, you tell me either through the sermon or afterwards. The title of the message will be Dealing with Hurts. And I know that hurts is something that we all have to deal with. I can look at my own life, and it seems like the world is full of hurt people. And I know we as born-again people have experienced the healing power of Jesus. And it seems like in spite of that, it seems like the hurts have a way of creeping into the church among the people of God. And I'm not going to be talking about anything specific this morning, but I'm going to be talking the general picture of how God looks at us. I think God looks upon this world, and what does he see? He sees a crying world, a world that has been hurt, a world that is bruised with sin. And I had to think of, I read somewhere, the human life is started with crying. Babies come into the world crying. And often when a time of death, it's a time of mourning or weeping or such. So we can say that this journey of life that we journey is a journey of sorrow, so to say. And here and there across the world, we have people laughing. I think Solomon knew what he was saying when he said, "Laughter is like medicine." And this morning, if you're in a home and you can sit around the table and laugh, that's a real blessing. There's a lot of people in this world who do not experience that. They cannot sit around the table and laugh. Because of sin. Sin does that to a person. Sin causes hurts. That's just how it is. Even when God gave the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, some of the things he said, says, "Thou shalt not kill." If I go out and kill a person, I'm probably not going to come home to the table laughing about it. I'm going to be heavy, and I'm going to cause hurts. It causes shame and hurtful. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." A person that commits adultery, that makes hurts. And we could go on and on, stealing and false witness, those things you read in the Ten Commandments. Those things cause hurts. And we are confronted with people all over the world with hurts like that. And I imagine if I ask you the question this morning, do you know of somebody that is hurting? Maybe some people can hide their hurts. Some people are very good at that. You can have a hurt in your heart, and it's way down in, and, and no one needs to know about it. And we're sort of good at that. I think we are. I know I've been. I've had hurts in my life. Some of your brothers know about that. Looking back now, I feel foolish and silly of some of the things I've been hurt about. But I think that's just a journey that we need to. I think God has intended us as we go through life. He's not necessarily going to shield and hold all hurts from us, but He sends hurts our way to purify us, to bring out of us what He would have us to. So if I look back on my journey of life for the past 30 years or so, they're just, even in my own families, I can see people that have had hurts that you can just see it. Some people are gifted in the church. They can just sense a hurt in another person. I know there's a brother sitting here today that I've noticed that whenever there's someone that's experiencing a hurt, you used to find out that he went to visit them. Now, it's really a blessing and a blessing that the church has people that are gifted in that way. So I think God has given us different gifts, and some are prophets, and some are teachers, and some are evangelists, and some have the gifts of healing. And I know, James, you prayed here a while back that God would send in our midst those that have gifts of healing, and I think we have some of those in our midst. The healings of the... I'm not talking about a hurt on the outside. I know here a week or so ago, my granddaughter broke her collarbone here at the school, and she hurt the first couple of days. It's something that she hurt, but we're not talking about a hurt like that. We're talking about a hurt that's in the heart. And I think God has given us gifts, some people that sense that. And I think the best way for healing in that is to share it with somebody else. And you can be like a sponge. You can maybe go sit beside a person that's hurting, and you can absorb some of that. I know it takes time to heal some of those things, but I think that's what the Church of God is, and that's what we're called to do, that we would understand each other that way. We're in a hurting world. The hearts are hurting and homes are hurting. And many of the people that I personally know of people that are hurting. Many of us know more than one. Maybe some of us know half a dozen or a dozen people that are hurting. They're around us. So I would like to say this scripture that I just read this morning, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, that Jesus has come to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I think that's the business that Jesus is in, to heal the hurting hearts. And that's what I know because of that I have something to preach today. Jesus does that. I can't do it, but Jesus can do it because he went through that. He went through everything any of us can ever go through. We know sin is the cause of many hurts. And many of us don't know how to avoid sin, so we end up getting hurt and hurt other people. And I thought this morning I'd just like to think a little bit about what causes some hurts. I could maybe put them in two lists. We have, on the one side, we can have some unavoidable hurts, which no one can avoid. And the other side, we can have avoidable hurts. And those are sort of the ones that I would like to talk about first, some avoidable hurts that we can experience. I know church life is a little bit like a garden. You know, we picture a garden with plants in it, and we have all sorts of plants in the garden. We have maybe some shrubs. We have maybe some flowers. We have flower beds around about, and flowers are growing, and trees are growing. And some of us go walking through there with no care and not a thought, and we step on a flower and break it. And we have no idea that we hurt somebody. It's a little bit that way in life. You know, we don't quite think like we think sometimes. We know the young ones in our midst, they're growing up and they're tender and they break easy. And I think we need to try to understand people like that, that we would walk carefully as we go through life. Okay. I would like to open this up to you if you have any inputs on this. As you think about avoidable hurts, I'm going to open it up. If you think of something comes to your mind, just say it. I would be glad if you would. What are some things that we face in our with our families and with our church life that are that cause hurts that are avoidable? Does anything come to anyone's mind? If you do, just say it. I made a little list here, and it's not inclusive at all, but I think it's I think some of these are true, and I'm sure that as you think, you can probably think of more. I had to think of misunderstandings. I tried to analyze some of the things that I've seen happen in life, and many times it's so simple things like a misunderstanding. You have two parties, and one understands it this way, and the other understands it this way, and they cannot be gracious enough to try to walk in the other's shoes. Misunderstandings can cause hurts. And I think many times they can be avoided if we try to understand the other person. If we walk in his shoe a while. I think that Jesus has given us direction in that in the Bible as we esteem each other better than ourselves, that we would consider one another to love and good works. I think the Bible has direction in that. But some of these things are like the verse that Jesus said, that offenses must come, they must come. I've never understood that verse completely. But I think while we're in this world that some of these things will come and they must come, and God has his hand in them. And it makes a people out of us that couldn't be otherwise. Okay, another thing that could be cause an avoidable hurt is injustice in the church. I've seen that happen in church life where you had people that were dealt with, and it wasn't long until they went somewhere else, and they carried the hurts with them. That was, we can sometimes say injustice in the church life can cause hurts. That's a really, really one that a lot of people struggle with. Church authority. It's something that I think God has directions on the leaders of our church, how they need to function. And I'm not here saying anything about ours. I just want to be like Aaron and her, and that's why I'm preaching today, because I didn't ask to do this, but I felt like if they asked me to preach, I want to do it. Way back when I was converted, when I was 17 years old, me and my brother went to church one time, and the church asked him to have devotions, and he said, no, he doesn't have devotions. And I thought, how is that, that if you're asked to do something, God asks you to do something, you refuse to do it? And I decided then and there that I'm never going to refuse when I'm asked to share for God, and that's part of why I'm up here today. I could have said no, but it don't make me feel good if I do that, so I wanted to do that. So I just want to be like Aaron and her and stand under the arms of our ministry, and if I can help any of you along, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. But, this injustice in church authority, it's not here at all that I know about. I've seen it in other churches where people get hurt, where the ministers and the bishops, they have the authority, and they unjustly treat some people. So that can cause hurts, and I think those are some that are avoidable. And there are some others too. Have any come to your mind? What comes to your mind when you think of avoidable hurts? I'm sure something, James. Maybe being introverted. You have a definition of what that means? Yeah, okay. Being too self-sensitive, maybe. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's something that I know you need to grow in that area, and some people are real sensitive, and it comes under the bracket of accepting yourself, I think. You know, I've had a struggle in my life of accepting myself in my early days, but I've come to conclude that if I'm asked to do this and I mess up, that's okay. You know, if God made me and he made me stutter in my words, well, that's fine, but I'll do the best I can, and if you can accept me that way, that's fine too. So anyway, you need to learn to accept yourself the way God made you. And I think that would help out in that area, that you're not so think about yourself so much. I think Moses was that way. He was the humblest man on the face of the world, and I think Moses was a man that wanted to do the will of God above all things else. That he didn't get in the way at all, but he was a humble man that served God, and I'd like to be more that way. Okay, are there any others that come to your mind? Okay, gossip. Yes, I appreciate that. Yes. If we hear something, we talk to other people about it. I don't think that much of that goes on around here, what I know of, but I've appreciated the church here. Some churches isn't that way, but in the 25 years I've lived here, that's something that I didn't see too much of, and I just want to thank the church for that, that when something bad happens, we don't just have to go around and gossip about it. Okay, any other thing else? There's some more I have here. Anger and malice. I know sometimes a person becomes angry, and it goes along with what Joe said. We might say something we shouldn't, and those cause hurts. Unforgiveness. Unacceptance and rejection cause hurts. You see that especially in children that feel rejected. I wanted to mention in the world we're living in, how many children in the U.S. are born out of wedlock. I read this morning 40% of all children in the U.S. are born out of wedlock. They would grow up in a one-parent house. And those children grow up with hurts. A lot of them do, I think. Children on the streets that have nothing to do, and I think they are hurting children. So what provision can we get out of this? That we would accept the call of Jesus, that Jesus' call was to come to set at liberty them that are bruised. And that should be our call, too. Okay, I think on the other side now of unavoidable hurts is something that sovereign hand of God has. He does in Him alone. Anyone know what I'm talking about, or what do you think? What are some things God does to us that takes us through deep hurts? Death. Okay, probably the number one pain of a lot of people. And God knows what He does when that happens. I know back in 1980, Martha's brother, when he died, he had a young family. They had three children. I think they were four and under. And he sort of died sort of suddenly. And she was left behind with three children. And we sort of wondered how this would turn out. We used to go visit them and we used to come in the house, and we'd heard her in the back somewhere singing. She'd be singing away. And she was singing her hurts away. And today now, as we think of going to a funeral or something, if that sister comes and comforts the bereaved, I think she can do something I can't do. She knows firsthand what it is to depart with a loved one. You know, she raised her three children then, and God took her through something that the rest of us could. I couldn't do what she could. I mean, when someone dies and a loved one dies, that sister, I have full confidence that she can come and she can say some words to this person that I couldn't, because she went through that. And I think God does that for a reason. He puts those hurts on people. In the short term, we can't always see why it is that way, but I think God has a long-term plan for this. We often don't see it until maybe 10, 20, 30 years later, maybe not even until eternity. So some other things some other hurts that God brings on us that we can't avoid is children can't avoid if they're in broken homes. Children can't avoid if their mom and dad are divorced and they get mad at each other and they separate. And those are some unavoidable hurts that, you know, only God, only Jesus can heal those. And I had to think of storms, too, and catastrophes. I had to think of a tsunami over in Japan. Many of those people lost their loved ones. They couldn't help it. God did it. And you couldn't say nothing about it. It was the hand of God that did it. And God, there are many of those people that are hurting. And sicknesses and diseases the same way. It's the sovereign hand of God that God can choose whom he would do this to, and no one else. We know life isn't always fair. This morning I can say life isn't fair. God chooses this one and that one, that one to go through that, and we don't know why. But we leave that to God. Those are unavoidable hurts that we need to work our ways through. Okay, then I can ask the question, well, how do you help someone like that? So I don't have much of an answer here, but I wrote a few things down. I sort of feel like I'm sort of shallow here, and I know I can't do justice to this subject this morning, so what I have, I'll just share with you, how do you help a hurting person? Some of the things I wrote down, I said to just be there. Just be there for the hurting person. You don't have to say much, just be there. And avoid giving a lot of advice. Offer to help them. And be a good listener. Be patient. Don't judge their feelings. Encourage them. Those are some of the things you can do to a hurting person. Okay, I think that God wants us to work through some of these things. I know pain can be kept inside and it can make a person out of you that you shouldn't be. It takes time to work through that, but I know pain that is kept inside and not brought out and taken care of, it can turn into hatred and anger and self-pity and fear and finally murder and suicide. But I don't think that's the route that many of us want to go. And I know it's not. I know for me to here this morning to say this is the way to do it, I hope you can forgive me if I feel too shallow in this. But I think that's not the direction we want to go. We want to take our pains to God and let Him work out the good that He wants us to. We don't want to go that way of anger and hatred and self pity, but we want to bring them to Jesus and allow Him to deal with them. And many times, people like this can't experience the love of Jesus unless someone shows them. And that's what you and I are here for, to show people that we love them. Even though we can't entirely feel for them, we love them. We stand beside them. And many times forgiveness is really linked to pain too. We need to forgive those who hurt us. Forgiveness is something, a choice we make. We make that choice in our minds that we're going to forgive them. We can honestly look that person in the face and say, I love you, the person that hurt us. And pain doesn't last just 5 minutes. It takes time to get rid of pain. Okay, I was inspired as I looked into the Bible, and I thought of some people that could have been hurt in the Bible, but I don't read too much as they were, and I just like to lift them up this morning for an example to follow. And I know some of us, I'll probably fail. I don't know what God has in mind for me yet, but I could either fail in this. But I had to think of Job, and I read Job's first couple of chapters, and it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And some of the things he had a family, he had 7 sons, and he had 3 daughters, he had 7,000 sheep, he had 3,000 camels, he had 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. And it says he was the greatest man in the east. And it says, while his sons and his daughters were feasting in the eldest son's house, Job up early in the morning, and he offered sacrifices for his children. And it says, thus did Job continually. This was his way of life. While his sons and daughters were out, Job was praying for them. This was a man of God. And I thought, how good example for us to follow. While our sons and daughters are out feasting, we should get up early in the morning and pray for them. This will protect them. Then one day a messenger came and told Job, the Sabaeans came and they captured all your oxen and asses and they killed the servants. And while he was yet speaking, another one came and said there was a great lightning storm and he killed all the sheep and the servants. And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came and said the Chaldeans came and captured all the camels and they killed the servants. And while he was yet speaking, another one came said, your sons and daughters were feasting in your eldest son's house, and a tornado came and destroyed the house and killed everyone in the house. Then Job arose, and he rent his mantle, shaved off his head, and fell on the ground, and what did he do? Cry? He worshiped. That's an example to follow. Now, Job could have, some people would have fell on the ground and cried and been in self-pity. We could lose one of our brothers, one of our sisters, or our mom or dad, or our spouse. And we need to follow what Job did. Job fell on the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yeah, that was an example that inspired me as I thought of Job, how he reacted to adversity. And I'm sure he had pain. As we read through the chapters of Job, we can see how Job was working through those pains. And what blessed me is it says at the latter end of Job, I think Job came through victorious and shining. These things that hurt him, he used them for his own good and for the good to glorify God. And in the end, he came out shining. He had seven more boys, and he had three more daughters. And all his animals were doubled. Instead of 7,000 sheep, he had 14,000 sheep. Instead of 3,000 camels, he had 6,000 camels. Instead of 500 yoke of oxen, he had 1,000 yoke of oxen. And instead of 500 she-asses, he had 1,000 she-asses. Okay, there is an example of a man that came through glowing. He went through the fire, and he came through shining. Okay, there are many others we could think about, too. I had to think of Joseph. Joseph as a young man. His father loved him, and he went to check on his brothers. His father sent him to check him, see how they do. And when his brothers seen him come, his brothers didn't like him. And he says, "Here comes that dreamer." And they caught him and threw him in the pit. And as the story goes, they threw him in the pit and took his coat of many colors and dunked it in blood and told his father a wild beast tore him up. And then he was taken to Egypt, and he was in the house there with the master's wife, and she falsely accused him, and he was thrown into jail. And I thought, my, what a prime time for a young lad like him to get bitter and angry. He was falsely accused. His brothers hated him. But not one time do I read in the Bible where he pitied himself or he let these hurts and things get in his way between him and God. I think when his brothers threw him in the pit there, there's a verse there that his brothers said after that Joseph revealed himself to them. They looked at one another and said, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear him." I think when they threw him in the pit, they looked down on him and see the anguish of his soul. And Joseph went through deep hurts there. I know he did. He had anguish of soul. But then, you know what Joseph's response was to that? Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" They were afraid that he was going to retaliate against them now. He said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly unto them. I thought, what an example. They meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. You know, after the hurts are over with and we can look back, we can maybe say, "God, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God meant it for good. And I know some of you went through a lot more than I did, and I trust you. I know you have a lot more to say than I would in this matter, but I'm just looking at some examples here and seeing how they handled it. Okay. Now we have the example of Jesus himself, of what he went through. Do you think Jesus went through any hurts? I think he did. We had glimpses of in the life of what Jesus went through. In Isaiah, I was reading through that, and Isaiah 50 says, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That's what Jesus went through. You think that hurt Jesus when those Roman soldiers or those Jewish people plucked his beard out? They spit in his face. I don't think Jesus flinched. He sat there. He didn't get hurt over it. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus received stripes, and through those we are healed. And when he was there in the garden, in Luke 22 it says, and when he had withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down in the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Okay, there, Jesus was alone there. He thought that he told his disciples to watch and pray, and he went out and it was in agony, and he was sweating as there were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And we know how he prayed that this cup would pass from him. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And then finally, when he was on the cross, when he died, it was at the ninth hour, he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You think Jesus felt alone and hurt at the time like that? Sure he did. I think his natural body would have. But he looked ahead and he knew what he was doing. And because he went through those things, I felt so foolish in my own life at some of the little hurts I went through. And I see how some of these great men in the Bible, what they went through and what Jesus went through, it made me feel like my little hurts weren't much. And I think we need to do that. We look into the face of God and see what Jesus did and he wants to do for us. He wants to this morning have that scripture fulfilled, which said that he will, what did he say? He will set to liberty them that are bruised. I know this morning that some of our hearts have bruises on them. And I think Jesus wants to heal those. And it's a time thing. It takes a long time to do it sometimes. But I think Jesus wants to do that. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That verse to me is saying that unless we go through some of these things, we can't help anyone else. And I think God does that many times. He takes us through things so we can help others like that. And I think that's the story of reconciliation. And I'd like to be involved in that. That if there's any person in this world that I can help, I would like to help somebody. You know, even though it's small, you know. And I think that's the call of the church this morning. That if there's people around about us, let's stand by their side and maybe we can do like Job, or I fail to say then what Job's three friends came to comfort him. You know what they did when they seen him afar off? He says they rent their clothes and they took dust and threw it up on their heads. And they went and sat beside Job for 7 days and 7 nights and didn't say a word. If that's what it takes to comfort somebody, let's be willing to do that. Let's be willing to sit beside somebody that's hurting. And I think God wants to use us to do that. And then, on the other hand, he wants to use those people, healing to those people, that they can help others. So this world is full of hurting people, and I think the children of God have a call to go out and do what Jesus' call was, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted. Same as my sister-in-law did 30 years ago. She went through that terrible experience of losing her husband and raising those three little children. And today, I think she has a ministry that some of the rest of us don't have. She can comfort those others that go through that. And God wants us to experience that. And I think as long as we're in this world, that we won't get away from all the hurts. in Revelations 22, I think only in eternity that we will be rid of that. Revelations 22 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which had 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Okay, we see there in heaven, there's going to be the ultimate healing, I think. We can take up that tree of life and be healed. But until we get there, we probably have a journey of hurts and hardships. And again, I'd just like to read those verses I did at the beginning when Jesus stood up in the synagogue and there was delivered to him the book of Isaiah. He opened the book and he found the place that is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And I would like to emphasize that this day, we're living in that time when those things can be taken care of. Even though we sometimes don't know how to go about it, but Jesus can direct us in that way. And with those thoughts, I'll close and turn it over to James.